If you would turn to Acts chapter 13 this morning, Acts chapter 13, and I greeted someone this morning and they said, "Good morning, you're the man with the plan." And I thought, yeah, if you can just ever get the plan to come together. Well, I have a plan and I want to mention it to you. Right now, as far as I know, next Sunday morning, Brother Robbie Sipes and Brother Brian Sipes will be here. They're going to stay over, aren't they? Mary, they're going to stay with us, by the way. just thought I'd tell her. But they're going to be coming over Saturday to pick up the kids. And I invited Brian and June, Robbie and Kim always do that after Bible school. Their kids have been coming to Bible school here for years. And so we invited Brian and June to come over and spend the night with us Saturday night. So the plan at this point, if it all comes together, and I'll say this, as much as I love Brother Brian, you never know when you try to plan around Brother Brian what might happen. So this is the plan. Plan A is that next Sunday morning we'll have two services here in the auditorium for everybody. And at the 10 o'clock service, Brother Robbie Sipes will preach, and then we'll take a break. And donuts at 9:30, donuts and coffee like usual, back in the fellowship hall. And then we'll have a preaching service here at 10. We'll take a break, and then Brother Brian Sipes will bring the 11 o'clock message. And we're looking forward to them being here. And so those of you here, as well as those of you that tune in via the internet, you don't want to miss next Sunday morning when you'll have the Sipes duo here. And perhaps we'll even have Robbie sing in the second service. Let him preach the first service, and we'll have a great time of fellowship together. So we're looking forward to that, and I hope that that plan works out. All right, in Acts chapter 13, I want to begin reading there in verse 15, where the Apostle Paul is in the synagogue, and it says there in Acts 13, 15, "And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, Ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Then Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand said, Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt." Now, Paul is going to give a little bit of a history lesson here. So that's what he starts out doing in verse 17. "The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. And with an high arm brought he them out of it. And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed 7 nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. And after that he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterward they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul, the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus." Now, I want us to consider this morning some things about David, this man after God's own heart. That phrase has caused problems with some people over the years because of the things that we read about David. And yet the Bible is clear, the Bible being inspired, God said through the Apostle Paul, he said, "I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart." I want you to go back to 2 Samuel chapter 12. 2 Samuel chapter 12. And I want us to notice some things about this man after God's own heart. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, and we'll take time, it'll take a little bit to read this, but I want us to see the passage here. In 2 Samuel 12, verse 1, "Now the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said, There were two men." And by the way, we don't have time to read all the passage, but I assume that most everybody here is familiar with what had taken place with David. And you can read about that in starting in chapter 11. David commits adultery with the wife of Uriah and sends him on the front line, so he is killed. That is being addressed in chapter 12. The Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up and grew up together with him, with his children. And it did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was coming to him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. He said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore thou hast despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight. Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee. Raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes, and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Now, the reason that this is somewhat confusing to people is because if you go back to Leviticus, look back in Leviticus. In Leviticus chapter 5, let's just go to chapter 4 to save some time. In Leviticus chapter 4, in verse 1, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a soul shall sin through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which ought not to be done, and shall do against any of them, if the priest that is anointed do sin according to the sin of the people, then let him bring for his sin which he hath sinned a young bullock without blemish unto the Lord for a sin offering. So there was an offering that was to be made for sin. But these, if you read Leviticus chapter 4, chapter 5, Numbers chapter 15, these are sins of ignorance. Say, well, how could that be? Well, you have to remember, folks, that the law was very complex. It was made up far more than just the Ten Commandments. someone said that there was over 600 laws, statutes, and judgments. And so if a person sinned through ignorance, God provided for them a means of forgiveness by a blood sacrifice. But if you turn over to Leviticus chapter 20, in Leviticus chapter 20, it's significant what we read there in 2 Samuel, where Nathan said, the Lord hath put away this sin, thy sin, thou shalt not die. In Leviticus chapter 20, in verse 10, the Bible says, and the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. Now, when you put all of that together and you think about David having committed this sin of adultery. And not only that, the sin of murder by having Uriah sent to the front lines to be killed. And then you read that there were sacrifices for sins of ignorance, which would not cover this sin that David committed. And then you read over in Acts chapter 13 that David is a man after God's own heart. It causes a little bit of confusion. But there's an answer to all of that, and I want us to look at that today because it's very significant as far as God and His mercy and even His grace. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, I'll just go back there and read it. He said, David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. God only had two choices with David. He could have enforced the law that He had given Moses and killed David, or He could forgive David of his sin. That was the only two choices he had, really. And Acts 13 tells us, I think, why He forgave him. One of the reasons He forgave him. There's more than one, and we'll look at those. But one reason is that the Bible said, of this man's seed, of David's seed, hath God, according to His promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. You see, if you track the lineage from the day that God Almighty said to Eve, I'm going to, through your seed, bruise the head of the serpent. And you remember over there in Genesis chapter 6 that the Bible says that Noah was perfect in his generations. Therefore, he and his family were spared. There was a bloodline through which the Lord Jesus Christ was to come. And there was one attempt after another by Satan himself to stop the Lord Jesus Christ from ever coming through that bloodline. This is one of them. In other words, had God enforced the law of Moses as it was written, the devil would have been victorious because the bloodline would have stopped through which Jesus Christ was to come. But it did not stop. Why? Because God Almighty, being God, can do, as Vince mentioned this morning in Sunday school, God can do whatsoever He pleases to do. And God chose to forgive David and have mercy rather than sacrifice. And by the way, there was no sacrifice for that particular sin. I want you to look over to Hosea. Hosea. In Hosea chapter 6, this is a plea from the prophet Hosea to the nation Israel. And he says there in verse 1, come and let us return unto the Lord, for He hath torn, and He will heal us. He hath smitten, and He will bind us up. After 2 days will He revive us. In the third day He will raise us up, and we shall live in His sight. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, His going forth is prepared as the morning, and He shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. O Ephraim, what shall I do unto thee? O Judah, what shall I do unto thee? For your goodness is the morning cloud, and as the early dew it goeth away. Therefore have I hewed them by the prophets, I have slain them by the words of my mouth, and thy judgments are as the light that goeth forth. For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. Look, if you will, over in Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. In Matthew chapter 9. Verse 9. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, He saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And He saith unto him, follow Me. And he arose and followed Him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with Him and His disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto His disciples, why eateth your Master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Why was the Pharisees, what was it the Pharisees need to learn? You see, they were all wrapped up in keeping the law, and no doubt the observance of bringing the sacrifices and so forth. But what God wanted them to understand was that what they really needed was faith, and he says, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. In other words, the sacrifice was of no value without them believing that Jesus Christ was who he said he was, the Messiah sent from God. Look over in Matthew chapter 12. In Matthew 12. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 1. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn. And his disciples were hungry and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. I guess that means you don't have to cook it, do you? But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. But he said unto them, have you not read what David did when he was hungry, and they that were with him? How he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priest. Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if you have known, what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. And when he was departed hence, he went in their synagogue, and so forth. Now, what is this thing about having mercy and not sacrifice? Well, I want you to go back again to Samuel, but I want you to go this time to 1 Samuel chapter 13. In 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 13, and Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly, thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee, for now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart. And the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. Now, those were words spoken to Saul. I want you to go over to chapter 15. In chapter 15, we have that famous happening there where Saul is given some commandments by Samuel. In verse 1, Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. And the Lord begins to tell Saul through Samuel what he wants him to do. He wants him to go out and he wants him to smite Amalek and utterly destroy everything that they have. He says, I want you to destroy it all, every bit of it. Both man and woman, infant, suckling, ox, sheep, camel, and ass. And Saul went out, gathered together the people, and he did not obey the commandment of the Lord. Notice in verse 6, and Saul said unto the Kenites, go, depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For you showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. Now it is readily apparent that he did not obey God, did he? God said, I want you to destroy them all. Well, Saul said, I'm going to take care of the king. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and the lamb and all that was good that would not destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuge, that they destroyed utterly. I always think about that verse when I read that. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man. Saul believed he was doing the proper thing. Verse 10, then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments, and is grieved. It grieved Samuel, he cried to the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose up early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him a place, and has gone about, and passed on, and go down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, notice now, blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? Now notice the response. And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord. God, we did this for you. Folks, this is a perfect picture of religion today. They do what they want to do, and while they're doing it, they say, God, we're doing this for you. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse and worship God through your tithes and offerings. Lord, we're bringing these sacrifices to you. And he says, but wait a minute. Remember, I sent an apostle unto you, and that apostle said to rightly divide the word of truth, and salvation is a free gift. But God, what we're doing for you. And Saul said, it's the people, Lord. Verse 16 then says, then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners of the Amalekites and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but did fly upon the spoil and did evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. You see, apparently Saul was reading a different version than Samuel was. Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. Verse 21, but the people took the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, hath the Lord his great delight in burnt offering and sacrifices? Here it is now, verse 22. Samuel said, hath the Lord his great delight in burnt offering and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, the Lord also hath rejected thee from being king. Now I want you to notice a contrast between David and Saul. What did Saul do when he was confronted with his error? He continued to insist that he had obeyed the voice of the Lord, and that what he did, he was really doing for God Almighty. Look, if you will, in Psalms chapter 51. In Psalms 51. In Psalms 51. That clock can't be right. I haven't spent that much time on my introduction. Psalms 51, verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. You see, David could have come up with all kind of excuses of why he needed the wife of Uriah. And why that really turned out to be the right thing. And it was really her fault for laying out there and taking the suntan. And, you know, and all of this kind of stuff. But you know what David said? He said, I've sinned. David was a man after God's own heart. So in Psalms 51, I want us to look at about three or four things about David. Number one, as I just mentioned, he acknowledged his sin. The Bible says there is none good, no, not one. I believe one of the greatest hindrances to people being saved today is for people to really acknowledge, understand, and acknowledge their sinful condition. How many times I've asked people about their salvation to have them respond, well, I'm just as good as anybody else. To which I always reply, yes, you probably are. Which makes you no good at all. Because the Bible says there is none good, no, not one. The Bible says that the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked above all things, and who can know it? The book of Isaiah says that all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. What does God desire in an individual today? God desires an individual exactly what David did when he says, I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Now, you know, the glorious thing about us in the dispensation of the grace of God is even though after we are saved, we are in a body of sinful flesh. And we can rejoice in the fact that we are forgiven and that we are in the body of Christ. We are redeemed and we're justified and we're sanctified and we're seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Every one of us would have to readily admit that our sin in the flesh is ever before us. It's always a problem, and it makes us understand and realize the importance of trusting in what Jesus Christ did for us at Calvary. When people are taught that they can be saved by their good works or their good deeds, the problem with that is that their bad works and their bad deeds always keep popping up. Their attitude. I mean, I've seen people, you know, that said, listen, I have never sinned since the day I got saved. I had an aunt that used to say that. I remember at 12 years old, just like it was yesterday, sitting in a living room in Sacramento, California with my dad and mother and sister and my dad's family. And his brother's wife said, I have never sinned since the day I got saved. And my dad replied something I've never forgotten. He said, you just did because you lied. And boy, she got fighting mad. She asked my mother to leave because she found out that my mother smoked cigarettes and she didn't want her in her house with those cigarettes defiling her house. And she didn't smoke in the house, by the way. A self-righteous individual says, I've never sinned. Well, listen, folks, I can identify with David. My sin is ever before me. But you know the good news for me? Is it has no effect on my standing with my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, because my sins are forgiven. My sins are under the blood of Jesus Christ, and God Almighty does not see me in my sin today. David realized he was a sinner. He realized that he was born in sin, as Romans chapter 5 says, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and he acknowledged his sin. Look back in Psalm chapter 32. Hold on here in Psalm 51. In Psalms 32, another Psalm of David, verse 1, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer, Selah. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. What did Saul do when confronted with his sin? He tried to hide his sin, didn't he? And Samuel said he would have mercy and not sacrifice. He said to obey is better than sacrifice. You see, even through the heinous act that David committed, when he was confronted with his sin through Nathan, David realized he had sinned, and he realized whom he had sinned against. Look back there in Psalm 51 again. In Psalm 51, verse 4, he says, against thee, and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, in the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. You see what David said there? He said, against thee, and thee only have I sinned. You see, folks, he had sinned against Uriah. He's against mankind as well. But David acknowledged that the sin was against God Almighty himself. And because the sin was against God Almighty, only God can bring forgiveness. Look over in Colossians. Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4 first. The idea that people have to go to a man to get forgiveness. The idea that people have to confess their sins in order to get forgiveness. Well, we need to understand that our sins were placed upon Jesus Christ at Calvary. God Almighty made him to be sin for us. And the Bible says in Ephesians 4 verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto their redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted. Now notice, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Forgiveness, folks, is from God Almighty. The provision for forgiveness was through the Lord Jesus Christ. But God Almighty was the one against whom mankind sinned. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Adam rebelled against God. Adam sinned against God. And he said, the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. David sinned, and he sinned against God Almighty. We were born in sin, being in Adam. And the Bible is clear that our forgiveness is forgiveness from our Heavenly Father, God Almighty, and He forgave us for Christ's sake, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Why did He forgive you? Because you asked? No. Because you merited it? No. He forgave you for Christ's sake. Jesus Christ went to the cross, and He became our sin, and died for our sin, and was buried, and was raised again the third day. And David realized that since he had sinned against God, God was the only one that could bring forgiveness. And God provided the forgiveness. There was no sacrifice that would have paid for David's sin according to the law. So as I said earlier, God only had two choices. Death, or to preserve David according to His loving kindness and His mercy. And that's what He did. Because David had a repentant heart. And David acknowledged his sin before the Lord. And David obeyed the voice of the Lord in believing God meant exactly what He said. Yes, he rebelled. Yes, he committed a sin in the flesh. But God Almighty forgave David because of His mercy. And therefore, the Bible says David was a man after God's own heart. Look, if you will, over in Romans chapter 3. In Romans chapter 3. In Romans chapter 3, Verse 21, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth, that is Christ Jesus, to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Whereas boasting then is excluded. By what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Now skip down to chapter 4. Paul is going to use two individuals here as an example of faith and salvation. Romans 4 verse 1, What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath failed? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath wherewith to glory, but not before God. Now I know that differs from James, and it differs for our purpose, because James speaks of Abraham when he was in circumcision, and said without faith, Abraham, his works would have been dead. Paul is using Abraham as an example of faith while he was yet uncircumcised, still a Gentile. And the Bible says in verse 3, for what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even, he says, even, this is Psalms 32 that we read a moment ago. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. You see, David received a special dispensation, if you will, from God Almighty in dealing with his sins. You and I today live in the dispensation of the grace of God. And in the dispensation of the grace of God, God cannot impute our trespasses to us and be a just God. Why? Because Jesus Christ died for those sins at Calvary. He paid for every one of them. And God imputed those sins to Him so that He could impute His righteousness to us. Why was David a man after God's own heart? Because David obeyed the word of the Lord. David was repentant. Go back to Psalms 51 again. Psalms 51. David acknowledged the truth of who he was and who God was. And notice what he said. Psalms 51, there was a famous evangelist that came on TV years ago. He got caught having a relationship with a prostitute and so forth. And he came on the air and he read these verses, and it about made me sick. Because I had heard this man declare boldly that the person that believed in eternal security would die and go to hell. Psalms 51 verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then thou shalt be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then they shall offer bullocks upon thine altar. David was a man after God's own heart. You see, what God desires of people today, folks, is not anything they can bring in their flesh. He doesn't desire anything that we can offer up as our goodness in order to obtain the sacrifice and salvation that He's already provided. What He desires of us is to acknowledge and to trust in what He did through His Son at Calvary. God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven us. And He forgave us for Christ's sake. Not because we deserved it, but because He did it through His grace. Truly, we can say with David, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin, which is true of every saint in the dispensation of the grace of God. God is not imputing our sins unto us. Why? Because Christ already paid for them. God made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I would encourage you this morning to do so. And if you have, then tell somebody this glorious and great news of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, that today we're living in the dispensation of the grace of God, and it's not by our works that we're saved. It's not by joining the church. It's not by being baptized. It's by trusting in the finished work of Jesus Christ plus nothing. Would you stand me for prayer?